again, and welcome to Supergirl Gap, the podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl, and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
And this week, we watch Supergirl Season 3, Episode 4, The Faithful. And unlike last week, where we had lots and lots of things to say, I think maybe this week we have we don't feel quite as spurned to talk about things in such a...
I want to say that I hate when I'm right, because the Alex thing is going exactly where I thought it was.
Yeah, and man.
And the whole time I was watching the episode, I kept thinking of you going, oh no, wait, no.
Oh no,
you're foreshadowing. Yeah. I hate being the oracle of this.
As soon as that scene, we're jumping like to the end of the episode, but that scene. Well, we talked about this a little bit before the show started, where I said there's basically only like one scene that really like stuck out in my mind, and it's like I didn't dislike this episode at all, but I just felt like it was kind of like when I tried to remember what happened when we were about to start, I was going like, wait, what happened this episode? And that scene with Alex, basically, you know, breaking down at the little, the school. I mean, is it a talent show? Is it just like a performance thing?
I think it's like a school.
Just a school function where kids do stuff.
Yeah.
Like the kind of things that you go to when you're trying to be cool, sort of aunts to this new person you've just met, which it does seem a little weird to like invite people.
It was also weird when Alex and Maggie were like, oh yeah, we're going to be the cool aunts. I mean, I assume they meant Kara. And
yeah.
Then suddenly this woman's like, oh my God, thank you. I'm like,
I totally need some aunts for this kid. And they're like, oh, I guess we're a part of her life now. This lady we just met.
It was a really weird dialogue thing. Cause I think the writers meant for them to all be on the same page about it.
I totally thought they were talking about Kara. Like that was the implication there.
Yeah, it's so weird. But it was a very weird. We'll get to some of that. But sorry,
yeah,
you were going
that
on
scene
though, that
was with Alex like breaking down at that, and then that whole scene after the fact was like no joke. That was like emotionally, I won't say quite devastating, but it was definitely like impactful for me. I was just like, man, this is. I felt it for her. You know, it's like she.
Yeah.
She really went there and just, I mean, even before the
performance itself.
Yeah.
The performance itself was good.
Even before the whole.
And I totally
like
get
before
it.
The speech, just watching her get as she's growing, like more upset in the theater or, you know, in the auditorium, whatever, you know, watching the thing happen. It was like already getting to me. And then once she got outside and was just like, you know, having that talk with Kara, I was like, man, this is, but, and of course, as soon as she started getting upset, like I could just hear your words in my head. And I was like, oh no, she's not cool with it at all. This is going to be a bad time. And I'm kind of like, and especially that fact that when she said, she was like, Maggie's never going to change her mind. And I was just like, man, where are they going to go with this? Where can they possibly go with this other than to have them break up? And I'm just like, oof. Oh, so on that, glad to start on that happy note.
I know. And I think it's frustrating because again, the performance itself was good and she did a really good job with the script she was given. Like you feel for her, but it's really hard for me not to connect this to how they wrote off the other relationship that they set up in season one into season two. It's not quite, I mean, they're actually spending multiple episodes this time, breaking apart this relationship, but it's still like these problems are coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things where like, this is something that if you're already engaged to someone, you see a relationship counselor for. This is something that like you talk through, and I'm really worried that the show is so quick to write off Maggie. That I just really don't like how obvious it is what the writing is trying to do. Like it's frustrating because I recognize that this is a thing that that women go through with their partners, or where, like, not just women, but like just people, like this is a thing. And it could be done in a really thoughtful way. And it doesn't feel super thoughtful when I know that it seems like it's a means to an end.
Yeah.
To just justify
it doesn't
them writing off this
character. Yeah. Well, and it doesn't feel like how there's that disconnect, because it doesn't feel real, because it feels more like we don't have access to this actress or something. You know, it's like she didn't she's not going to be there for as much of the season because she's got other commitments or something like that. And then when you know that those kind of things happen behind the scenes of a TV show, and you're trying to get invested in these characters' lives, and you know, you already are invested in these characters' lives because you've spent now 2 years with them or whatever, or, you know, when you're people like us who have not only watched the show, but then like watched it and talked about it. And you really start to, you're just spending you're investing that time and effort and energy into these characters. And then to have something go completely get kind of like tossed away because of the real world aspects. And it just makes it feel like you wouldn't be having this conversation at this point. You would have already had this conversation multiple times. You know, this is not like a decision that just gets thrown away in two conversations where one of the people is just like, oh no, that's totally cool. Yeah. And then it's like kind of upset about it. And then the next week it comes up again once, you know, that's it. It's like, this is a big one. This is a big conversation to have. And it's not the kind of thing that just gets, especially if you're like trying to marry somebody, you wouldn't just go like, oh yeah, no, you don't want to have kids. Totally. That's fine.
Yeah.
You'd be like, whoa, pump the brakes, because we need to talk about this. And it's like you said, you'd go to a marriage counselor or something. But again, just like we've been saying the whole time, this is all stuff that would have come up long, long ago. You would not be doing this like right in the buildup to the wedding. But of course, I mean, it's a TV show. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and maybe it's just the fact that like we haven't seen the side of Alex until like right this very, very moment. Right. Which like, I mean, maybe it's because like she's finally seeing someone she can spend a life with. But again, like that would still, even if it wasn't happening on screen, we would realistically, they would have had this conversation already. You know?
Well, and that's the thing. You could have them make reference to the fact that they have like been arguing about this for a while, or not. It doesn't even have to be arguing. This has been a thing that they have been talking about for a while, but we saw the first time it ever comes up in their.
Yeah.
You wrote it this way.
You know what would have been
like, you didn't have to write
it like
this.
What would have been really interesting is if maybe when it had brought up like, well, Alex, you know, I haven't really wanted kids before. Maybe they could have been like, Alex could have been like, well, you said you didn't want to get married either. And we're getting, you know, you decide, you thought that might be different. And then it could go into like, well, yeah, but I still don't feel differently. Like, at least that then sets up the idea of that Alex thinks that she could have changed her mind. Like, she, you know what I mean? There could have been some setup that, like, that this is something that they've talked about. It just, again, it just feels like, it's so frustrating because the trope of, like, wanting to be a mother and motherhood in women is so... it can be so badly done. And I feel like this is very wobbly. Like I said, like the performance was actually, again, it felt like it came from a really genuine place. Yeah. It felt like a really authentic place, but the jumping to, oh, that's what would break up this lesbian couple is kind of frustrating. and you know, it's, oh, we need them to, we can't have the, have Maggie on the show right now. What can we do? I guess we need to break him up. I guess mother.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, and this is me being kind of skeptical, but it's, again, we saw it kind of telegraphed in the last few episodes, not very well. And because we know the behind the scenes stuff, it's just kind of really disappointing.
I mean, to be fair. Okay. I will say, to be fair, we don't 100% know for sure what's going to happen. We don't know why her status was like downgraded for sure. We don't know if it's because she has other commitment. We don't know exactly what it is. So it could be that this is all I'm trying to also just sort of cover our bases in case that, like, oh, they're not going to do what it looks like they're going to do. But man, just from that first time, it's like, why do they keep, they basically built the entirety of season two, you know, was their whole thing was sort of like building towards them having a relationship and like, oh, it's great that they're getting to have a relationship. Just like the all of season one was building towards, or not all of it was building toward, but you know, for both of these, it was like, it was an important,
a lot of the momentum.
It was a through line was, you know, for the show for that entire season, you know, was Kara and Jimmy getting together, which is like I've said back during the first season, and I'm sure I said some while we were talking about it, you know, in the early going
of
the second season. It's like, I would just as soon not have the focus of the show be who's getting together with who. Just we can have fun adventure action, you know, superhero stuff without it having to be all about, I mean, I know it's a CW show, so you got to have a bunch of that stuff, but you don't actually have to. I don't know. I'm just like, there's so-
but I think the point too is that, you know, they put so much investment into this relationship, like into the shows, the show did, you know, and even at the beginning of the season, they were building up like what that was going to be. And again, maybe they're going to surprise us. Maybe they're going to just have them take a break and have, and once her other commitments, other projects are done, she's going to come back towards the end of the season and they're going to reconcile, because you know that they weren't together for a little bit. Well, you know, they weren't together at the start, and then Alex got hurt by Maggie, and then Maggie came to her, you know? So like, I'm not saying that that's not, that like, there's no possibility that they can't figure it out, but then they're also kind of, this is part of the problem too. If they're going to write Maggie off the show, even for like the middle chunk of the season to come back, there are easier ways to do it.
Yeah, then you don't have to break them up.
Iffy problems.
Yeah.
Or even like the reason they're going to, because now you set up this thing where if you want them to get back together, one of them has to compromise on what is basically a bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, only one of them's going to be pregnant, but it's still,
well,
like,
they can adopt. It doesn't have, like, to be. I mean, I was not even thinking about it.
But,
like,
but I mean, the same. But I mean, it's also, I mean, beyond like the actual pregnancy, it's also the whole idea of like women having the choice, you know, enthusiastically making the choice to be a mother, or strongly feeling the choice to not be a mother, like. The only way that they can get back together now is if one of them now compromises. And what does that say about like the main romance of the show? If like one of these, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it's setting these characters up in a way that they didn't have to set them up. And I don't know if there's a way for the optics of whatever that, of that, like if they do get them back together, the optics of who has to give up what they saw the rest of their life was to be like, I don't know. It just, does that make sense? Cause I'm frustrated by the fact that they seem to be setting, the writers seem to be setting them up to make someone unhappy, or for them to just like, for the one gay couple on the show to not be together anymore, period. Yeah. So I don't know. And especially because they were setting this up, it's not like they weren't going forward with an engagement. They were gung-ho about the engagement. So like, if it, and that also feels kind of like pulling the rug off from queer fans' feet, you know what I mean? Because they set up the characters to be very gung-ho, ready for a wedding. Yeah. I don't know. It's like
and I guess it's not, since we don't know what their plans are, all we can do is speculate based on what they've given us. And what they've given us is like, ooh, you guys are on real shaky.
Great.
Yeah. You guys are on real shaky ground any which way, it seems like. And maybe you've got a plan. Yeah.
Because like, how bad is it going to be if Maggie's suddenly like, oh, never mind, I want to be a mom.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a, that would be such, but then again,
that's a
like,
pretty drastic turnaround
after that. Yeah, and after that big speech that Alex has, so like it feels like every possible conclusion to this like storyline is not great.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so like it's a lot of speculation, but it's like, you know, fairly. I don't know. I guess we're gonna have to wait and see. But I had heard a little bit about this, and I was putting off watching the episode until right before we recorded because I was just like, "Oh, I know what's coming. I know that they're starting to set that all that stuff up." So I don't know. We'll have to. I am nervously waiting to see what happens next with that, and hopefully they can pull something together for that. So you said that you didn't remember a lot from this episode. Like I said, I just watched it not like earlier this evening. I actually was kind of surprised at some of the stuff that they brought up with the main plot, the main like with what Kara has to deal with.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is,
let's talk about all of that.
Yeah.
Can I just say this was another instance when the show opens with two guys on a plane, and one of the guys, you know, even though we don't know either of them, one of the guys has got that exact same thing that Sam had in the first episode of the season where we first saw her, where I saw this guy and I was like, he just has a little bit too much screen presence to just be like, he's obviously going to be like the bad guy this episode, you know, or like something. Yeah. It's like, he's going to be the,
or some major character.
Yeah. He's going to have something to do.
I described as he's like ranting to his fellow plane passenger. I described it as projecting the television show because he's like, I know exactly what your deal is. You have a wonderful wife who's pregnant and you have a great job. And then suddenly you find out your wife's cheating on you and then you lose your job. And I'm like, this guy is like, you are wildly throwing your own issues.
Yeah.
I mean, way to get all that exposition about your life. Yeah. Like right in the open for the show. But I found that kind of funny that like the guy is clearly looking at him like, you have problems.
Yeah. Oh, well, just think about like,
I'm happily married.
Just think about like plane etiquette, like in sort of like normal social interaction, plane etiquette. And like, all I could think was, I was like, oh my God, if I was this guy who's like stuck now on a plane with a guy who's like drunk and disheveled and is like wanting to start talking to me about my, like, that he's got me all figured out, even though he's never met me. And I'm just like, I would be like, how do I get off of this plane?
Or he's Tyler Durden.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's like the two options.
Or like, how relieved do you think that guy was when all of a sudden that turbulence hit or whatever, where he's just like, oh, thank God I don't have to listen to this guy anymore.
I know. It was funny because I will say the episode was clever. Because I saw this and I was like, oh, another plane crash? Like, Supergirl's already saved it. And then I went, oh, wait.
Which was great.
And then I kept waiting for
Alex. I like that it was like,
I kept waiting for Alex and Alex showed up. Yeah. And they were able to reuse that great moment from the pilot where Kara kind of takes stock of the fact that she just saved, like, a plane full of people. Which was always a really good moment from the series. And again, I think we talked last season about how it was cool when they brought in like the boy that Alex was sort of into in high school and like made him an antagonist for Kara because he figured out who Kara was. Yeah. How nice it was just to like bring back people who have interacted with these characters, but earlier on, and bringing stuff back from season one, honestly, because there's so much of a disconnect between the CW seasons now and the
CBS one
and the original. Yeah. Yeah, the CBS one. So that was really cool. And I liked I mean, and I completely forgot what the preview was from last week until I saw him looking at all the religious stuff in the plane. I was like, oh, right, he starts a cult.
That's right. Now I remember. It's the cult guy. It's all coming
back to me. It's the cult guy. and I kind of laughed, though, because I was like, oh, of course. Of course, the what, like, this, like, guy who comes from, like, who comes from wealth and who is like this like middle-aged white guy, of course, like he sees like Supergirl being heroic and good and brave, and the first thing he thinks is, I'm gonna start a cult. Like, not I'm going to dedicate my life to trying to help others in like meaningful and non-culty ways. No cult. Well, first thing,
you
cult.
Now I've never started a cult. I mean, sure, we've all thought about it, but as of yet, I haven't started one. Knock on wood. But, you know,
you might get there someday. Don't give up on your dream.
I don't
want to
put the cart, you know, before the horse. But I don't think that anyone that starts a cult, I don't know, this may be going in a weird direction.
I don't know. Some people, I mean,
I was going to say, just, I don't know that anyone, I feel like he does not seem like, is that?
That's a car alarm, by the way. It's nowhere near me. It's fine. It's not my car.
I didn't know if you were suddenly beeping. You're like, uh-oh, Chris is setting off my cult leader alarm. Because... Well, no, but it's like, he really, I'll give this. I kind of bought the story for this guy a little bit because I was like, he seems, I mean, of course, he takes a twist at the, you know, going towards the ending. But he really does seem like it turned his life around and he thinks he's like found a real and good path. That's like he seems sincere in his belief, you know? And like, even though it's misguided, it seems like the kind of thing where you're like, this guy, his life had kind of fallen apart on him. And then something miraculous happened and you can kind of sympathize with someone going, this was such an amazing, this is like filled me with such a renewed sense of hope and whatever. And it's like so much so that I want to share it with other people.
I should say it's not that like I couldn't believe that this happened. It's more like, oh, this makes too much sense. Would take the wrong message.
Yeah, they've done the like, you know, many times they have done the thing where there's like, oh, people start worshiping Superman. Or Thor, or, you know, whoever. It seems like they've done it with Superman a couple times in the comics and stuff.
I don't know if, I was wondering about that, because I don't know if I had seen that, and I wondered if they had done that, but I didn't remember it from, like, some of the other... Yeah, if you have any recommendations.
There's actually, like, a trade that is specifically, like, on the cover, and it's got a couple stories in it, where... It's got Superman kind of surrounded by these people who are trying to be followers. And I can't think of what the name of that trade is off the top of my head, but I'll put it in the show notes because I've got it. I'll go in the other room.
But I do like,
and find it.
I do like the idea of Clark, who is the most like in his personal life is most like down to earth, just wants to be a decent human being, and how horrified he would be to have where he's like, that's not why I want.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to do. No, stop. Please get up. Stop kneeling. Please get up. Yeah.
It's exactly that thing of, he's like, look, I try to help out, but I'm not a guy, you know, it's like, I'm just someone who's trying to do the right thing. I'm no different than you guys, except that I can, you know, I can.
And there's something kind of meta about these stories too, because for Superman in particular, there's so much analysis about him as like a Christ figure, a Messiah figure, and obviously like certain creators play that up more than others, and it really is getting to see the character then having to look at how pop culture has kind of shifted the idea of the character into a Christ figure and being like, let's not do this.
Oh, now that I'm thinking about it,
please.
They also, I feel like it was just kind of like a one-off thing in like an issue of after the death of Superman because of course he came back, you know, then there was like a you know, a group. I don't think they quite got to cult status. And the story that I'm thinking of that's like from, that's got like a trade kind of, where it's like something from It Is on the Cover is like either from the 70s or the 80s. But then like after he died and came back, there was like, and he came in and was like, look, you know, medical science brings people back from the dead all the time. And he's like, sure, the thing that happened to me was like a little bit more miraculous than normal. And it, you know, because it's like fancy, crazier science and whatever, but it was still just medical science brought me back. I was, you know, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, anyway, that's like totally off track, but now my brain was like searching for it.
But it brings up like, so I found like the whole storyline really interesting, especially when it's like, when they say like, well, he's not really dangerous and like, he can't really, like partially, I don't know. They try to get freedom of religion. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, the way that Maggie,
like when you're worshiping a literal person that exists, yeah, and they don't want you to worship them, I feel like freedom of religion might, it's a very specific, very rare occurrence where someone yeah is worshipped. But someone living is being worshipped as
a god. It was weird to me how, glib Maggie was about it all. When Kara's you've got to stop this guy.
I feel like they...
And she's like, there's nothing I can do.
I feel like they needed someone... Yeah, I feel like they needed someone there to just justify the fact that the cops aren't doing anything.
Well, yeah, but have her sound, like, more upset about it. She seemed, like, so just dismissive. Yeah. She's like, my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. Sorry, I got to go. And it's
the direction of that was,
it was
weird.
Really weird. Like just in the moment, that scene, I was like, also it clear this up for me. Cause I was like, I have no idea. I don't know how I missed this or if it's like, if I just can't remember what the deal was, but like, how did he have all the like Kryptonian, like sacred texts?
I don't know if they, I think it might've been that it's either the thing he gave her or it's whatever that ship thing was. I think that he had just looked for a bunch. He was like buying up a bunch of any kind of Kryptonian artifacts that he was able to find like on the black market, I guess, maybe.
Okay.
And I guess one of those things gave him that information. But they, considering how,
because at one point,
he's
basically got like a Kryptonian Bible. And it's like, where in the hell would you get that, like, how are you gonna just find that on eBay?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think I feel like it's enough of a plot point that they, because like even Kara asked where you got that, and they only kind of half explained it. So I feel like
so
that's
it's not just me.
That's I wondered the same thing. I just assumed that I missed a line or something that was more clear about it. I will say, like, so a few things I really liked in terms of details. I really liked how specific we got with the actual prayers.
Oh, yeah,
The prayers to Rao. And I liked that it was very visceral for Kara. Like, she immediately remembers her mother praying and how it does move her. And I really liked the fact that they actually had a good reason for Kara to get that information through the newer character, because they weren't just handing out pamphlets to anyone. They were handing them out specifically to people who were saved by Supergirl. Right. So I was like, at first I was like, it's super convenient that this creepy woman just like shows up and hands her a pamphlet. But then it actually makes sense when you realize that they were all supposed to be saved by her. And then I also really liked the fact, I really liked the, how they raise the stakes before the like big bomb at the end, but how they raise the stakes with this like really creepy guy is people then wanting to be saved by Kara and putting themselves and others into immediate danger because they see being rescued by her as part of salvation. Yeah. And like how like unnerving and scary that would be for someone. And also the fact that, again, like, oh, and the other, there were a couple other things, like the fact that Kara is very unnerved by like the mass, but also when I think it was either James or Wynn says, like, do you remember her? And then she says, I remember all of them, because like that's the kind of person that she is, where she, like, she remembers everyone that she's helped. I don't know. There were just, like, there were a lot of little things. I know we said that we didn't have a lot to talk about, but I did think that there was some, for a character that I'm pretty sure is, I'm saying this now, but, like, someone's going to find out that, like, this character has been around for forever. But it feels like this is a character that was made for the show and, like, a, not a, a completely original concept, since you said that Clark has dealt with this, but for an episode that's not like, oh, we're bringing back like a character from 1978
yeah.
or like that one guy right. that no one remembers. Yeah. It for them to like kind of pull this, this episode, not from anything like super, super specific. Yeah. It was in like, I really appreciated parts of it in terms of what she had to deal with, and the fact that, like, not, you know, her saving people is still her doing the right thing, but like the consequences, what, even if they weren't like really necessarily her fault, but the fact that like it still
has
the cause
an effect
of these people, yeah, that it's part of the reason why these people are, and like the catalyst for these people to like have a really unhealthy like reaction to it, has to be like super unnerving.
Well, yeah, I really liked that part where she was like clearly so unnerved by, oh, I forgot. This was another scene I really liked, was that scene of Jimmy talking about the first time he met Superman.
Yeah, like, that was really good.
More of this, please. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there have been other times where they've done stuff like this where I was like, oh, that didn't work for me. So, you know,
But I also feel like this was more of Jimmy being on Team Kara in a way that we haven't gotten to see a ton of with him before. And I wish we got to see more of that. We did get to hear him like, go, hey, should we go?
Yes.
We
I was going to say something about
today?
That.
And
yeah.
We're going like, and I'm like, well, at least they acknowledge yeah. that that's still a thing they're apparently doing sometimes, but apparently things have been super
quiet.
That
they were like, yes, we know people, we know that you guys are complaining that he hasn't been the Guardian after we made such a big deal out of that last season. So it's, we're just saying that crime has really been slow. And I love that then their follow-up is like, well, you want to go bowling? And they're like, so about, it's just like, oh yeah, bowling, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
I did roll my eyes though when Jimmy was like, hey Kara, do you have that thing for work done? No, I'm looking at something personal. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
He said, like, he said something like, you know, like, what are you still doing here? You already turned in that thing that was due.
Oh,
and she was
okay.
like, yeah,
so
sorry,
I,
this is
I
just,
missed...
I'm working on something personal.
Okay, that's so much better. I was so worried that they were like, hey, Kara, are you actually doing your job right now? No, I'm doing something personal. Oh, okay,
I'm doing something
on.
Personal
All right,
on
that's
company
so much
time.
Better. Yeah, again. Yes, I know you're my boss yeah. still. I like the fact that Jimmy and Wynn were a little more involved, and it was kind of the three of them yeah. for some of this.
I was so glad
because I missed.
I was
that.
Glad that the three of them went to that meeting instead of just her going by herself.
Just Kara, yeah.
Just
and
from
it was
like
nice
a,
cause she they could have some more reaction.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, and just from like, so she's not having to like talk to a stranger and have some of those reactions. It's like if Wynn says some of those things that the audience is thinking, it's like a little easier to swallow yeah. than if Kara says it to a stranger or something.
And also it's totally in character for them to be like,
we're going.
You're going to a secret
yeah,
meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like your so secret meeting with your, with like Kryptonian stuff. Yeah, of course we're going to go. Something else I really liked was that the cult leader actually recognized Kara.
Oh,
because,
that was wild.
If he didn't, that, yeah, that was like, it was really, first of all, I was thinking like, You've studied this person that you think is a god enough. If you don't recognize that she's right there, but then I will say the acting on this guy is pretty darn good, especially in the scene where he's like, "Is this a test?" And you think it's like, you think at first it's like, "Oh, a reporter is testing my knowledge of Supergirl or whatever." Like you think that might be what he means, and it's like. And then he reveals and he knows who she is. And then she does that thing where she can't lie.
Yeah. but
about,
man,
about being confronted by it because she's terrible.
I don't remember.
At it.
I looked it up, you know, like as we do for these things. I'm still like in that mode where like how we used to have to like look up to put in when we were doing this for Comics Alliance, and we'd have to look up like who wrote it and who directed it.
The spelling.
Well, just like the stuff of like putting in all that kind of stuff, like right at the top. So I still like look when I go to look at look the episode up on IMDb when we're starting, you know, when we're about to do the episode of our show. But I can't remember who wrote this episode. But that line that he has, there's like a number of things in this episode where I was like, man, this writing seems like a little bit above what we have been getting in some of the other episodes this season. But that part where he says, he's like, I looked into the eyes of God, and that's not, I'm not going to forget, you know, I'll never forget that. Yeah, and I was like, man, that's like a really powerful line. And it's, and in that context, you know, to think that he just, that completely changed his life. And you go like, that's not a thing that shows like this. And, you know, the comics and stuff, usually, even when they do get into it, it doesn't seem like they get into it quite in that way. And I was like, that also, that really caught me like off guard. And I was like, man, this character is, there's something to him. And also, especially the fact that they didn't just like kill him off at the end. He's probably, they're going to do something else with him.
I did think the way they resolved it, I don't know how well it worked for me. Like her bleeding, which, because like you see him then like go, oh, what have I done? But then once he's in jail, he's like, oh, but I know you're really God still. And I'm like, I'm not sure how well the two, I don't mind the ending scene because I think there's something still very unnerving about the fact that, like, you know, it's a guy who is technically on Kara's
side.
Yeah,
that's
side.
The
he thinks Kara's amazing. He thinks Kara's,
he's not
like,
out to kill her.
Like, awe-inspiring. But he's still so dangerous to, like, everyone and is actually, like, you know, there's so many interesting things with that character. But also, like, the way that they had to resolve the plot itself, I feel like kind of undermines that because he seemed to snap out of it for, like, in order to stop the bomb. Which, by the way, when that bomb fell down, I was like, okay, so the structure of that stadium
is,
like, there has to be gas lines down there.
Yeah.
Like, how in the world did that not
that felt,
cause massive?
Yeah, that felt kind of like a like a real. Let's just get out of this. Let's just hurry up. Let's get this scene over with.
It's such a comic book.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I was like, I was like, you know, I'm not a structural engineer. I'm not. But even I understand that, like, you know, there are pipelines.
It's not just dirt underneath buildings. It's like,
there's not just dirt underneath the buildings, especially for something like that big. There, you definitely have, like, gas lines going through that entire thing. Not to mention just the general foundation, like the cement foundation that would be that would be in that building. So I'm just like,
also,
I know, I had to shut my brain off.
Yeah, you've
got to
do that a little bit. But now I'm thinking, like, man, so, and then Kara just did it with her heat vision. And there's no force to heat vision. It's just heat. And so it's like, it's not like Cyclops. Yeah. His optic blasts aren't hot. They're just, it's like a blast of concussive force.
I mean, I know you're telling the audience, but also you're preaching
to the
choir.
No, I know you know, but I'm saying, but it's like,
it, little did you know, because I know we're not a Marvel podcast, but did you know that this other superhero in the X-Men has.
So,
right, anyway,
but it's like, I was thinking about like how much heat it would take to make that kind of a hole in the ground. And so then I was thinking like, okay, that room would be so hot that Alex and that guy would have just been like immediately roasted alive. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's comics.
I know. I think we're overdoing. I mean, like, there's also the problem of, like, Alex, stop it. And all she had to do was push a button and take out and then throw it slightly farther down the room.
You know what?
Like, what?
You know how when you're making something, you're, like, cooking something in the oven and it's on, like, 350 or, like, 400. And you know how, like, you open that up, the oven up for a minute, and it's, like, real hot to you? That's super duper hot to us. You know, like, to the point where if we were inside there, we would die. or if we put our hand on something close to it, we'd probably get burned. And that's like 400 something degrees, and that's not enough to make a hole in anything. So if you just extrapolate how hot...
I love that you're going back to this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. Like, it's like my brain is still stuck on, like, she would have... That heat vision would have to be so incredibly hot that they would have most certainly been killed. I mean, the air would just catch on fire. Anyway, I'll leave it alone. I'll leave it alone.
Will you?
Well, for now. I'll leave it alone for now, at least.
I mean, I'm just going to stay up tonight, like, racking my brain about how the science of this works on a show about a girl who can fly and bend steel, but yeah. Okay.
Well, so let's talk about the, I guess, like, the C plot, or the maybe this would count as the B plot, of Sam feeling like she's not being...
Oh, the mom is...
She's not being a good mom to Ruby, and also she is having a... kryptonite lettering on her face freak out.
Now we know the secret reveal that she's actually Rain.
Who would could have guessed?
Saw that coming, and except anybody who saw any of the like the TV sites talking about her casting like months ago, and also anybody who can pick up any clues.
Yeah. Anyone ever. With a brain stem.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah. So I mean, this is kind of, the plot itself is a fairly generic, like, oh, parents having to work, and not even like, I mean, she didn't miss the baseball game.
Soccer
game. Sorry, you know, I swear to God, I was just thinking of Hook. I completely confused the two, like, parents work too hard and miss activities with their child. I was completely thinking of Hook for a half second. like she was still there and she had her daughter at like, they couldn't. And I think part of the point though, was that like, she's beating herself up for what is, you know, kind of a struggle of work to life balance, but isn't like her being a bad mother by any means. And I actually did really like, how is it that I forget the name, all the L names every single time? This is bad. Lana? I was Lena. Gosh, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
I really threw you off talking about all that science. I'm sorry.
It filled my head with science. All of the names of the characters just flew out of my brain. But, Lena was talking about, like, you're not a bad mom. I had a bad mom. Trust me. You were like, you clearly care about your kid. She gets to see you work. She gets to see, like, you doing great things, which is, you know, and you make sure that she's working hard and you support her. Like, you're not a bad mom. And I appreciated that moment. And I honestly appreciated how, and this might be because I just had a rant about how Stranger Things has all these like male friendships and like some relationships between men and women and like girls and boys, but doesn't have any like really strong female relationships. And I said, like, you know, for this faults of Supergirl, and I was going to say, like, I'm doing the podcast tonight, so, like, goodness knows, I'm thinking about this show and how I love it, but it frustrates me. But it does a really good job of putting female relationships at the forefront. And I really appreciated that. Granted, it's a little weird that it's, like, her CFO, and they were just talking about, like, making sure that there's no biases in terms of CatCo and that. And then she's like, oh, you should just come to our like sleepover. go to our ladies' night. But I did appreciate the fact that this show has women who have several different friendships with other women. And then when a new female character comes on, is very open and like, hey, you seem great. Do you want to hang out with us? Like, that's a really... It's really nice to see those relationships, even if it is like this character has been like seamless, not even seamlessly, it's very seem fully integrated into their lives between like disasters and work and like and another disaster. Right. So like suddenly she's just part of the group. But I appreciated some of the back and forth with some of the female characters. And I like the fact that they're clearly setting her up to be the conflicted character of the season in terms of, is she going to confirm her destiny? Is she going to be the person that she's been on Earth, et cetera, et cetera. And I like the fact that they're trying to set her up as fleshed out character as possible. And set up legitimate relationships. So now Kara knows her and is friendly with her and actually has more, will care more about, not that she wouldn't care if it was a stranger, but she's going to care about trying to save her from herself, yeah. You know?
Well, let me ask you this then, which this also like kind of irritates me, but it's like, it's just, I guess, how the way these things are. The fact that did you see the picture of her in her quote unquote rain costume? Okay.
No.
So they released it I think, before this week's episode even came out. Like, I already saw headlines. It was like, oh, first look at, you know, whoever in her rain costume. And it's like, could y'all let us just, like, get to the episode where we know for sure who she is first? Which, I'm kind of like, I'm sure, I guess if people really are into the show, they have already seen this too. But I'll send it to you, and maybe I'll put a link to it in the show notes. So if you want to see it, you can. If you don't want to see it, you don't have to. But I guess we can wait to talk about it until it actually shows up on the show. But
we can.
It's something else. Seeing it now, like all of that stuff that you were talking about just then with like what their relationship is like, and then seeing what they do with her costume, because I think when we think of like female villain costumes, and especially with like some of the stuff that they maybe did in the first season, with some of those costumes.
What was not magenta, indigo.
Indigo, yeah.
Indigos.
Female Brainiac, you mean? Lady Brainiac?
Sexy female Brainiac.
Yeah, we cannot leave out the sexy part of that, of course.
It is literally her main trait, besides being evil. So, evil and so sexy.
This costume is not trying to be like a sexy villain. Okay. It's not that. I could kind of hear it in your voice. I was like, I bet you think that's where it's going. And it's not that. But it's like, it, having seen what that looks like, it makes me go like, I don't know. It definitely raises some questions for me about like, where are y'all trying to go with this? Like, what is the point here? And when you see it, I think it will make a little more sense. But but we can save that for when it's.
I was gonna say I'm intrigued now, but I think we can save that for another thing. Trying to think of anything else. I thought, do we know who the woman she sees?
No, like, I assume it's just one of those people from the end of the season finale last year. One of those like.
Yeah, I thought so too. I just thought it was weird that like she had on like a weird alien face.
Yeah.
And then she turned into, I wonder if that's just like, just be prepared. We're not going to do the alien makeup the whole time.
Yeah, people can switch for some reason. And it has nothing to do with the budget.
The budget.
You know what? Honestly, and I don't feel like I normally say this or think this after we are, you know, once we're getting to the end of talking about these episodes, but I honestly feel like I kind of want to go back and rewatch this episode and just kind of like, I don't know. And just kind of like try to go like, what connect some dots that I feel like I'm missing here and just go, maybe something else will jump out at me a little more this time. But I like that this was an episode with a villain whose plot and everything had nothing to do with, he wasn't just like out and out evil. He wasn't trying to kill her. He wasn't trying to take over the world. He wasn't trying to, you know, it, I guess it's just like a nice change of pace. And since I feel like there was, in talking about it, I felt like the episode was a little more interesting than it felt when I watched it. And so I'm kind of going, maybe I will actually go and rewatch this episode. I don't know if anyone else feels that way about this episode, but now I'm like, oh, I kind of have some things where I was like, maybe I need to rewatch that scene. And I'll say again that this was a standout episode, I think, for Jimmy and for Alex, just for those two scenes where they get to have like a little moment to tell, you know, to really to act for. I mean, basically, it's just like, here's your chance to act this week.
Yeah. And I really liked also, and I think we touched on it, but just the reaction to the situation from the characters that we know best, because like it's a really unnerving thing. And their reactions felt very in line with like their characters in terms of like, well, this is creepy. Yeah. And the other thing I really liked too is that there was that little bit of surprise, because I was kind of bored with the idea of like a religion around Supergirl. When I found out that it was the people that specifically were saved by her, then like, oh, this is now
that's a different twist on it.
Way more interesting.
Yeah. It's not like there's
a more intensity to it, not just people who are like, she has cool powers, she must be a god.
And having that thing of people intentionally putting themselves in harm's way to prove their faith.
As like a rite of passage.
And it's like, well, and I could, it really was. And then that scene, you know, where she's talking to Jimmy about it, where it's like how you can tell she, and I think like that, Melissa, whose last name I'm not sure how to pronounce, who played.
I never know either.
I think that you'd think that after, you know, three seasons, we would know how to pronounce her name. She's basically always great. You know, she's what pretty much holds the show together. You can basically always count on her to do a great job. But that scene where she's, you know, basically talking about how rattled she is by all of this, was also especially. I mean, I didn't bring it up because when I was saying, like, you know, Alex and Jimmy both got to have really good acting scenes. And I was like, I didn't even bring her up because she's basically always great, you know, perfect casting, yada, yada, yada. But she, the fact that she is like in that scene, you go like, yeah, I can really feel for her for like how unnerving this would be. And that thing of like, oh, and then someone not even being mad at those people, you know, it's like that if somebody put themselves in harm's way and she didn't save them, they wouldn't even be the people who in the cult wouldn't be mad at Supergirl. They'd say, oh, that person just didn't have enough faith. And it's like, that's like scary to think about.
So,
So, yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to hear something crazy that I just found out today or tonight, actually? Right before we recorded, I found out that someone I know auditioned for the role of Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I was like, what?
Is it Melissa? Do you actually know Melissa?
No.
You just ever... And it's so embarrassing. You never remember your friend's last name.
No, it's someone I knew from here in town, here in Memphis, and who moved out to LA to try to become an actress. And as far as I know, she's been in some very small things. Last I heard, I mean, maybe she's like on the verge of doing something huge. I don't know. And then when
we don't want to.
Yeah. Assume. Yeah. I don't really know what's going on with her other than she moved out there to become an actress and she's been in like a couple like little things, like, you know, independent things. But I just found out tonight that, yeah, she auditioned for the part. And she said that like, apparently she said that, you know, she's really glad that, not only does she think that the girl who got it, who is of course now Supergirl, is like way better at it than she would have ever been. So she's glad that she got it. But she was also like, I don't really know what I could have possibly brought to the part. She just got a chance, you know, it was basically like, she just got a chance to audition for it.
Yeah.
Which is just like, kind of blew my mind. And I was like, wow, that's weird. And it came up because some people were asking me what I was going to do tonight. And I was like, if I could go do something.
Oh,
they were asking what I was... They were like going, could I...
I have my podcast. It's a very important well, they were podcast. Asking, we talk about Supergirl. Yeah,
they were just, they were like asking if I could go do something. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm recording a podcast tonight. And they were like, what about? And I was like, oh, it's about Supergirl. I kind of explained like the show. And they're like, oh, wow, that's crazy. This person that we know, in common, did you know that she auditioned for Supergirl? And I was like, what? So anyway. And I almost forgot about that story. So, I was like, man, I can't wait to tell this on the podcast. And then almost completely forgot about it.
Yeah. So there's one more thing from the episode that I want to talk about. Did you notice that in the like prayer montage towards the end, which in itself was not bad, and we actually got to see Jean's father again, which was nice. But they used Hallelujah again. And I don't know if you remember from like season one, but they used that song, which is not a particularly actually like pious song. They used it as the background for Alex, like talking to her mother about her jealousy with Kara when they have like that heart to heart when their mom comes to visit in season one. And I remember people being like, why are you using this song? It's basically about like romantic intimacy. Yeah. It's not a song to play between a mother and daughter talking. And then so like tonight I'm like, okay, I get why you would confuse it this time, but this is the second time.
This is the second time you've done it.
Misuse the song. Yeah. Why are you doing this to me? So now I'm not like even paying attention to Kara, like praying with the hologram of her mother. All I'm thinking about is this song.
I did not even
stop using it.
Yeah, that feels. Okay, so there's basically two things. Either the person that is responsible for the music has no idea, you know, just like, oh, this song's called Hallelujah, and this is a good song. You know, this is like a well-known song.
Yeah, it's song.
Yeah, so it's like, oh.
It's like a slow
and it's called
song,
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's got, and it says stuff about the Lord in there. It's got to be about praying and stuff. Okay. Or they think that we as viewers are, they totally know, and they think that we as viewers are too stupid to know the difference. And neither one of those options is very good.
It's great. I mean, and again, if it only happened with this one, be fine, because like, I'd be like, okay, you guys made a mistake. But the fact that they used it for like, I think they used like a really slower, they used a cover of it in the first season that was like slower and like more overtly not about prayer. And I'm like, why are you using this for this? This is a very weird tone you're setting, Supergirl. I don't understand this. So that was my what the heck is going on moment of the episode.
That was a nice save. What the heck moment.
Yeah. Yes. I had to think of what word to use.
I mean, all in all, I think an interesting episode, if nothing else.
Yeah. We had more to say about it.
Yeah, look at that. As I'm watching, I look over and look at the clock ticking by. I know it's gotten very late for you, certainly. Not so much for me, but for you. Pretty good episode. Katie, tell them all the good stuff you have going on and where to find you and all those things.
So you can usually find me on Twitter at Just Plain Tweets. I have a Patreon, patreon.com/justplainsomething. So if you want to throw a few bucks my way, I try to put in some interesting stuff here and there. In fact, I just put in, because I have a comic called Moonlighters, and I just...
The fourth issue of which just came out recently.
Yes, the fourth. I was going to get to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But... Now let me do. I'll do the Patreon plugs really quick. So I just did a little like behind the scenes kind of thought process behind issue 3. So if you have been reading the book and you want to kind of get my take on what my thoughts are on issue 3, that's up there. And also recently, John Troutman and I, we have done a couple of different audio commentaries for musicals. For movie musicals, and for Halloween we did the Phantom of the Opera, the 2004 one. And we had First of all, it's a very long musical, which we did not realize until about 30 minutes before we were going to record. And then we remembered. And we went, well, we don't have a backup, so I guess we're going to be recording this very long audio commentary. we had a lot of fun, but there's a lot of us ranting about the editing and about a certain...
I bet that was... You guys had a lot of fun doing that.
We did. There's a lot of bursting out laughing when we remembered, like, that there's a horse in the sewer that we completely forgot that there's just a horse waiting for them. But yeah, no, that one's really fun. And like I said, it's on it's on my Patreon and also on John Troutman's and also on his Gumroad if you just want to
just get
do that. But and then besides that, like I said, Moonlighters just had issue 4 come out. It's my personal favorite issue. It's the most fun to write. And that's available on Comixology and Amazon. And I believe the Keep It Close to Me podcast Twitter account retweeted this last week. But the cover of my upcoming graphic novel, Cardboard Kingdom, was released, and that is available for pre-order as well on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or at your local independent bookstore. I don't care how you order it. I just hope that you check it out.
Get out there and check it out. It looks so cool. I am so excited for it.
It's like the prettiest thing. Chad Sell drew it, he and I wrote it with 9 other people. It was this huge collaborative project, which I still have not gotten quite used to describing in ways that people
fully understand,
but it was this huge collaboration and could have very well have been too many cooks in the kitchen, but it wasn't. And it ended up being, a really cohesive, wonderful story about a bunch of kids in a neighborhood in the summer, having ventures and being friends. And I'm very June all 5th, the stuff, June 5th of next year.
It all
year.
Looks so cool. And like, well, definitely I put the cover in the show notes for the last episode, but it looks so cool. And the concept and like all the preview art that I have seen looks so great on the Twitter account. It all just looks so cool. I feel like I am excited for it as you are. If not, maybe a little more so, because I'm like...
I know. I've gone to read it, like, a lot. I've gone to read it multiple times, cover to cover.
Like, I am so mega excited for... I feel like I'm in the position now where I'm just going, like, it's so far away.
Yeah, keep promoting it, please. I know. By the time it comes around, it will have been a 3-year process between... Oh, wow. Chad putting out the call for collaborators, because he kind of just did a hey guys, like, I want to get lots of pitches and see whose ideas work with what I want to do. And then he kind of all brought us together. And again, I've described the entire process as a small miracle, and I will stand by that, because it was, and like I said, like, everybody was just on, it was the right people for the right project, and Knopf is publishing it, and our editors there were just perfect for the job. They made it the best version of the book by the time we had sent it officially in. I'm sure we're going to talk about this more than once in the upcoming months,
sure.
I'm excited about the ball game rolling. We can start actually like slowly showing more stuff from it as we get closer to the release day. So it's an exciting time. And like I said, right now there's some pretty decent, pre-order, prices on different websites. But again, if you want to buy from your, local bookshop, that's totally valid too. I encourage supporting small businesses as well. Yeah. So,
tell them where to find you on Twitter.
Oh, at just plain. I think I said that at the beginning, but at just plain tweets, and I don't know, like katieshankle.com. I usually keep things fairly up to date in terms of just what I'm doing. I think that's I think that's it. So, Chris, where can people find you?
Well, first of all, I have to remember to stop going first with, or to stop going last with this, because you've got this thing that not only is cool, but that I'm also excited about. So it's like, then it feels like a real like letdown when I start talking about where to find me and everything. Cause it's like, I don't have,
you're doing a billion podcasts. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not excited about anything I'm doing. I'm not as excited about anything I'm doing as I am about, the thing you're doing. but did you have something you forgot?
We'll have plenty of, oh, I was going to say, we finally found out Steven Universe is actually coming back before the end of the year, at least in some way. So I will be doing at least one or two episodes of Crystal Claude's podcast with Elle Collins. And I think Elle and I might be doing an actual Intuit episode, like an official regular one, sometime relatively soon as well. But Steven Universe is a thing that will be happening
be returning
in November for me as well.
Okay. Well, awesome. Yes.
So anyway, what are your billion podcasts? What have I got going on?
So, I think if you listen to this, you probably already are subscribed to the Keep It Close to Me feed, but you can, go to iTunes or wherever you get podcasts and look up Keep It Close to Me. And, you'll get all the shows I do, including this one. And, you can check out the website is keepitclosetome.com. That's where you get all the show notes for all these things we're talking about and links and all that handy dandy stuff. If you want to support me on Patreon, which, and I suggest you, you know, if you're into the show, throw a couple dollars to both of us because we both, we're putting in the long hours to make these things happen. But you get early access to episodes and like behind the scenes stuff like that. And just seeing some of this, like, there's stuff you can get in the mail, all kinds of junk like that. And that's patreon.com/thechrishaley. Anytime I've got something that I'm working on that I think people might be into, I usually put up stuff about it. But also I try to put up like things from the past that people may not have known about or maybe didn't have access to or don't have access to anymore. That stuff goes up on Patreon. And just I try to make fun things for people to enjoy. Just I like trying my best to, in my own small way to give people something fun to do. Anyway, so, but you can follow the show on Twitter.
You're great. You're good. All your stuff's good.
I try. You can follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. That's the main thing that's helpful to do if you want to follow us. And then when you see us tweeting about we've got a new episode coming out, retweet it, tell a friend about the show, leave us a review on iTunes, all those things that all the podcasts always tell you to do, but it really does help. So if you like the show and you want to help support us just a little bit, even if you don't want to, you don't have to do the Patreon, but just like tell some people about the show or watch for when we retweet or when we tweet about the show, that kind of stuff is mega helpful. And we appreciate it. We appreciate you guys listening. And yeah, I think that's probably all I have. So, Katie, do you have any final thoughts?
Don't use Hallelujah just because you think it's a slow, sad song. Don't learn the lesson from Supergirl. Just don't put it in.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good closing thought. Yeah.
That's it. That's all
so,
I got.
So we'll see you guys next week for more Supergirl Gap.
All right, bye, everybody. I lost connection just for a second. I was like, oh, this is something.
Okay.
This could be another hurdle, depending on what the next few seconds are like in our lives.